Hey guys, Liam Duggan here, captain of the 4WD podcast. We're driven by the Shelter Brewing Co. and are a part of Backchat Studios. You can support us on Patreon, where you can get bonus content and episodes before everybody else. Head to patreon.com/the4WD podcast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The 4WD podcast driven by Shelter has been a funny start here today. Music by the Southern River band, Let It Ride. 4WD podcast on Instagram, all their episodes over at Backchat's YouTube, and thank you to our patrons on Patreon. Did I get that right?
Yep, you got that right.
We appreciate your support. If you do feel like getting over and helping us out, patreon.com/4WD podcast. Greatly appreciated if you want to go over there. Some extra content, early release stuff, more stuff coming up too.
Spooky stories last time.
That last one was good.
You may not want to go camping ever again, but we encourage you to. Just don't get too caught up in what we were talking about. Check in, Ronnie. Going
good.
Well?
All good. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Thank you for asking. Jaden,
check in. Good, mate. Thank good. You.
Yeah,
thank good. You. It's a good day today.
Great day today. Great day.
It's a nice sunny day.
Yeah, it is a nice sunny day.
But you've been...
Hopefully when this is released, it's a nice sunny day as well. There's people getting ready to go 4WD driving, camping.
As we spoke about last week, doesn't really fool you. It's pretty sunny and no clouds most days.
Yeah, unless you plan a wedding or you pull your canopy off, then it will rain.
Yeah, that is the one time it did rain. All six years.
Or you've just washed your car.
Yeah, that's another one.
Because that's what happened to me.
Was it?
Yep. Yeah. Freshly washed.
We didn't touch on it last week, but how is the state of your roof after taking the rooftop tent off?
Yeah, it's not great. It's still fine. Like the roof's still fine, and I've done some like rust repair, like patchwork on it.
Oh, since taking it off?
Before I put it on, I fixed up some stuff and fixed some rust on it, painted over it. But annoyingly, even though the paint was apparently the right color, it didn't come out the right color on the car.
Didn't fade to the right one.
So not noticeable though. It's noticeable, but like who looks at the car from the roof? It's so high up.
I've never met too many giants.
Yeah. Well, you probably have in your career.
I just still don't know if they're making it to the top of your car to have a good look at, though.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, yeah, the roof's a bit, how you going? Yeah. And the rails, the side rails where you put the mounting.
The gutter mounts.
Yeah, the gutter mounts, thank you.
How do they fare after being clamped for so long?
They're good. They're good. There's a few rust spots there, and there's a spot that's been kind of worn off, which is just purely the way I've put on the wind deflector for the rooftop. As the winds hit the car, it's scraped away the top of it. And I knew that's what was happening, but I didn't really care that much at the time. So now I'm just going to have to like sand it down and repaint it, which is fine. I'm not fussed about that.
I didn't ask you last week. We spoke about it briefly, taking the
little bit at the end off.
What was the reasoning? Was it like me and just got bored or what?
It's kind of a little bit of boredom and a little bit of like mostly to save fuel and weight and all that kind of stuff for the car. Like
so driving around the city. Well?
That's exactly why I cut my hair as well. No, that was, that was a different thing. But a lot of it comes down to boredom.
I like this haircut, actually.
He's cut it ready for his tattoo on his head.
The hangover 2 tattoo.
Oh, the Mike Tyson.
Yeah, the Mike
straight
Tyson.
Across
that,
the eye.
Was that one or two?
That was number two, one night in Bangkok.
Yeah.
How many tattoos has this bloke got? That's what people will be asking when
yeah, the change is coming, Taz.
I lose too many bets on this wheel nut roulette thing.
Yeah. Well, that's funny that you say that. A bit ironic with your microphone there.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
All right, let's get to On The Radar. We're well in the swing of things with On The Radar now. It's new products, new cars.
We're back to cars.
We're back to cars. But we are back to cars. But we're also deep diving into the – well, not deep diving. We're impressed by the marketing around this car.
Oh, yes, yes. Very impressed.
I'll let you introduce the car that we're talking about, Ronnie.
Well, it's the new – it's coming out in 2025.
Yep.
The Kia Dahl.
Oh, that's cool. The Kia Dahl. I don't think it starts with a D. the Kia Dahl. Yeah, right.
The Kia Dahl.
I think that's, everyone's picked up now what it is.
Well, so. I thought they were calling it the Kia Duggo.
No, well, yeah, I've
You didn't get a say in that?
No, nah. I've kicked about 990 less goals than Buddy Franklin as the footballer. Dermot Brereton was in there too.
Yeah.
Definitely not getting a run amongst that royalty.
How many can you name in that ad? Because that's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
The Kia Tasman ad.
In the Hotel Tasman. That advert, they've spent a lot of money, and whoever storyboarded that advert is an absolute freaking legend.
It is incredible. I think we throw out there first a little bit of what it's about, and then I think we touched on the parts that we really liked. So it's the Kia, the new Kia Ute, which we're thinking it is called the Kia Tasman. We don't actually know.
They're talking big. They're talking they want to rival the Hilux and the Ranger, but it could also just be a marketing stunt here because there's a lot of money gone into this marketing.
A lot of money. So we don't know a lot about it. There's said to be a 2.2-litre engine, so it's similar to the Santa Fe.
Which, speculation, though.
Speculation, only speculation. 2025. It's the other stat that Jaden, well, not stat, but fact that Jaden come up with is that it's supposedly going to have rear leaf spring suspension standard to a dual cab ute.
On a ladder frame as well, so like a tougher construction.
Yep.
But also a more sort of rough ride.
Yep.
The front is definitely going to be IFS.
Yep.
You wouldn't make a vehicle these days.
Nah, I wouldn't have thought in that market.
No way.
So we don't know a lot about the car. No one really does.
Not. Just there's not a lot of info.
Yeah.
No.
There's not a lot of info. I think a lot of it's just speculation, one-ton payload, that kind of stuff. But it'll have to have to compete with anyone else anyway. Yeah. But Kia do make good cars.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They're massive here now.
Well, they're the fourth most popular car brand in Australia.
Yeah.
Not four-wheel drive, but
just
the fourth most. Yeah.
So what's the third? Is it Hyundai?
God, I just closed the tab.
Because they're sharing some of the technology as well I've been seeing or hearing. I don't know. Like, there's so many cars coming out. Like
Mitsubishi.
Can you guess number two?
It's the second most sold.
No, the
third most.
Second most popular car brand in Australia.
Oh, really?
Guess the second.
Oh, the second?
Toyota.
Mitsubishi's the third.
That'll be Ford.
Nah.
No?
Nah.
Toyota won.
Toyota's won.
I thought Toyota might have been second, and that was the surprise. And then first wasn't going to be Ford either. It was going to be...
It's not Isuzu, is it?
No, not Isuzu. Isuzu's number nine. Ford's number six.
It'll be something right in front of us. We can't see it right now. It'd be like, just tell us. Put us out of our misery.
Mazda.
Yeah.
Nah,
really?
He went to murmur it. I just jumped on.
Mazda. No way.
He was like, Mazda.
You're a cheeky man, mate.
Gotcha. Well done, Dougie.
Really? I don't feel like I see that many Mazdas out there.
Yeah.
They're probably under.
Under the radar.
I see so many Mazdas.
And the Mazdas just slide.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they're going past you, but you just don't see them.
Not seeing them.
Did you reckon I'm denting the roofs with my diffs?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of squash Mazdas out there and leaving a path of destruction behind you. Anyway, the Kia Ute, I think we were talking about.
Yep.
Anyway, so the exciting part about this Kia Ute is not the Ute itself.
It's what they spent on the advertising.
Yeah,
to me,
it is incredible. Now, for anyone that hasn't seen it, we're not going to play it here because we are a podcast and we realize that not a lot of people will be viewing us talking about this. But it's a minute and a half, or whatever it is, a normal ad.
It's worth watching just to pick who's there. But yeah. There's also Easter eggs in there.
I'm going to say we're not sponsored by Kia.
No, by the way.
We're not getting paid anything to tell you to watch the ad. It's just it's a bloody good ad.
Just go watch the ad.
Yeah.
I've never seen, you know, the old like Carlton draft ads in the
with the
Barry Dawson is the coup. The famous Australian ads. This would be one of them, I reckon. And it's not for a fancy catch cry or song. It's like, it's not overly, it's humorous, but not overly, but the amount of star power of Australian sports people that they've used in this ad is just incredible.
Yeah.
It's actually better than the Sam Pekovich lamb adverts.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon.
Yeah, it is.
It's pretty good.
Does it top the,
It's just about time someone's brought out a bloody good ad, you know?
It is.
Like, it's a good call. It is.
All the other ads are just rubbish, you know? It's just
A lot of us, we don't watch a lot of free-to-air TV these days either. So wherever they're going to be putting this, like, and I don't even know if it is on free-to-air TV yet. Like, I've just
YouTube, so.
But
they spent enough money that they'd have to.
They have spent, go and watch this.
Well, maybe they've spent that much money they can't put it on.
Yeah, that's true. There's no budget
there's
left.
There's no budget
for the network. But that there is like horse racing legend
Damien Oliver,
tennis Ash Barty, Dylan Alcott,
the MMA fighter. What's his name again?
Volk.
I don't want to butcher his name.
Volkanovski. Buddy Franklin, Tugger Burton, Tugger. Who else? Wendell Saylor.
Who's the old guy at the end?
Ockey.
John Aloisi.
That's Kerry O'Keefe, Skull. John Aloisi.
Skull. Mackenzie Arnold.
Yes, Mackenzie Arnold.
Yeah. Ash Barty's
there,
Barty.
Who else is there?
Alan Langer.
Darren Lockie is there.
Pat Carrigan, Adam Reynolds. Brianna Clark.
Yeah, the Brisbane.
Rugby League.
Have you got a list there?
No, this is just off the top of my head, mate.
Who else?
Jessica Watson.
Did
Saylor.
I say Darren Lockie?
Is this on a run sheet?
Nah, Darren Lockie is not in there.
That wasn't Darren. Who's the...
Scott Sattler.
Oh, maybe
Booney. And Booney. You were calling him Merv Hughes, by the way, but that's David Boone, mate.
Why not?
It was Booney.
You didn't have to call me out, mate.
Who's the guy carrying the sausages through the middle of the crowd? Who is that?
Yeah, is that guy we meant to know?
Nah, that's no one. Darren Lockyer, isn't it? Sorry, mate.
Yes.
You're right. He was at the end. Mark Occhialupo.
Yeah, Occhi. That's when they ring the bell for last drinks. That's his bells. Anyway. I've watched it 5 times just because it's such a quality ad. So this is a random on the radar. Do your research on the Kia Ute, but just...
Ronnie looks shocked here. He's like, who are these names?
Yeah, Ronnie, yeah.
Well, I don't know half the names, so I will admit that.
You probably know the names. It's just hard to spot who they are.
Well, I didn't know Buddy Franklin was in there until you said he's the guy at the door. I was like...
Well, he had the hat on. He was a bit incognito, Buddy.
Yeah, not anyone gets a really long stint because there's so many they've got to fit in. Like it is an incredible ad. So go and have a look at that.
Yeah, he's got his hat on. He's in the shade.
Yeah, yeah.
They probably couldn't afford him for longer than 5 seconds.
And basically, the whole thing of the ad is that the Kia. So we're not sure if it actually is named the Tasman. So they're saying that they should name it.
Yeah.
Like, so the Kia Buddy. Or the Kia Tugger or the Kia Big Dell for Wendell Saylor.
Kia Volk.
Yeah. So that's where it's at. Very, very good ad.
But they did have teasers in there.
Yeah. So do you want to explain that? I'm not all over that.
So in the ad, they're all doing something in a pub, these celebrities, right?
Yep.
So they throw a dart and it lands on a map and the dart lands on Tasman Sea.
Right.
Kia Tasman.
Yep.
The pub is called the Tasman, as Ronnie alluded to.
Yeah, I didn't
Are you saying
up.
It's going to be an amphibious car?
Well, yeah, mate. Could be. It landed on water. And then there's a newspaper article that has, like, if you zoom in real close, it says, all new release, the Kia Tasman made for Australia's rough terrain, 4x4. So while it hasn't been confirmed that it's a Kia Tasman, or it hasn't at the time of this recording, They've pointed a lot of things towards being the Kia Tasman.
Interesting. So I did a bit of reading about it the other day, and it's very Australianized, this Kia Tasman, but they've actually spotted some testing in Sweden.
Oh, right.
Of this car. So I wonder if they're spending that kind of money in other places of the world, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Well, they were testing it against a Ford Ranger.
Looks
I
quite,
saw in some of the photos.
There's been some, you know, those images that are released with it sort of undercovers and stuff like that. It looks quite boxy at the front.
Yeah.
From what I've seen.
Yeah, I've seen the front revealed. Looks very much like the Triton, I have to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
The number three seller, two. What was Mitsubishi?
Mitsubishi.
Second or third biggest seller in Australia?
What was second, mate? Come on.
Toyota was second.
Mazda.
Mazda was Mazda. First.
Mazda was second.
Toyota first. And what was, where was
Mitsubishi, I think, was third.
Third.
Yeah.
There you go.
You, mate, you stole number two straight out of my lips.
Well, I thought you couldn't remember it. I thought that's what you were going with. I thought like Toyota surprisingly comes in second and someone tops it. But
there's something else under this radar, but I want to save that for next week, boys, because I need to do more research on it. But it's a cracker.
Oh, righto.
Yeah.
Can you give us a teaser?
No.
Whoa.
Cop that.
All right. Well, there you go.
Straight on, up. Then. All right. Go and check that out. The new Kia ad, very quality ad.
Have set for a 2025 release, right?
Yep. Yeah, not the ad.
That's when the new emissions come out too.
It is.
So one of it's going to be hybrid. So whatever engine we're talking about now is likely going to not be the engine.
That's a good point.
Unless they pass on the tax. Toyota have said they will. So
pass on the tax.
Pass on the tax to the end user, because diesel cars are going to eventually. You won't be able to get them eventually. Eventually. We're talking
years down the track.
Years down the track to buy brand new. Yeah. So apparently that's this new tax, what the manufacturers, a lot of them are going to do, they're just going to add that to the price of the vehicle. So the fine that they'll get for selling that vehicle, the end user will end up paying for.
Right.
Which means I saw these rough calculations and, you know, it's not quite solid yet, but they were estimating that, say, a Land Cruiser, not any specific Land Cruiser, but a Land Cruiser would roughly be about $13,000 more on the price, because that's the fine per car. And say something like a Hilux would be like $4,000-$6,000, something like that.
So are we going to see, I know this is going from away from on the radar for the Kia Ute, but are we going to see a scurry of buyers towards the back end of this year if this new... This is happening, isn't it?
Probably, I reckon. Yeah. That might spike another big sales thing.
Yep.
You know. Yeah.
So it might be
all of a sudden that 2.8 is actually a big engine.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, we need to talk about this, I think, on like a proper episode.
We do. We need to get more research on it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll save that for when I give you
the scoop
on the radar cracker.
Yeah, nice.
Well, it's an interesting one.
Very good. Just just let Jaden know, mate, because we actually have a run sheet for these shows, so we can.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hey, he knows about the run sheets, mate.
No, he doesn't. No. Very good. I like it.
What's a run sheet?
R-U-N.
Just a bed sheet that gets gone for a run.
The main topic of today. Something that you are so passionate about, Ronnie, and found your love for recently,
mate.
Which I'm really happy for you. Caravanning and towing.
Caravanning.
We're going to steer this one, pardon the pun, from less of the camping side of caravanning and towing, it's more about the driving side.
Yeah, more about the action of driving. So there has been fresh calls, and a lot of people are up in arms on both sides of the fence about... regulating people who tow caravans.
Yeah. I'm just picturing a big battle of like.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But interestingly enough, there's a big crowd that want more regulation on this.
So around actually
getting a license
to tow, or
be forced to do training to tow a caravan.
Yep.
And look, I agree and I also disagree, and we'll get into that. But think about it this way. If you are a tow truck driver with a tilt tray truck, say your Ford Ranger breaks down.
Yep.
Because Toyota says don't break down. Just kidding.
Yeah, I've got you. Carry on.
So let's just say you broke down in your Mazda. Sorry, Mazda.
Number two most popular car.
You put that car on the tow truck. You're not towing it. You're a truckie. You got an MR license to be able to drive this truck.
Yep.
So you need an MR license to drive this truck.
Medium rigid.
And you can now drive this truck and you can deliver this car to the wrecking yard or wherever it's going to go to get repaired. But say you're a pea platter and you've just got off your peas, you go and you buy a caravan or you borrow your dad's caravan, more to case, being a pea platter. You hook that up to your car. You've got 3-ton behind you. You're driving your dad's 3-ton ute. You can go caravanning. You have 6-ton rolling on the highway. You have no experience with towing. You've got limited experience with driving. And you can get away with that with just a C-class license, just a normal license. When you put it into that perspective, it's pretty nuts.
It is. I when I originally saw this topic, I thought to myself, and that was part of it, licensing for caravanning and towing. I thought to myself, no way. There's too many licenses to get through. So many, like, just people that are doing it normally have an idea, I thought in my own head.
Yeah.
But when you marry it up to a truckie towing or even a tow truck for that instance, not a big truck at all, but
yes,
plenty of weight and whatever in it. Like it's, yeah, it, you are effectively turning yourself into a truckie on a car license towing a 3-ton caravan. I don't know what are they caravans, yeah, 3-ton,
more or less. I mean,
yeah, it's that actually is pretty wild to think about when you can do that straight off your peas or on your peas. Can you?
No, you got to be off your peas.
Off your peas, so straight off your peas, and like you say, you're rolling down with 5.5-6 ton down the highway. Like I don't know how to do that.
Can you safely drive the moving trucks? Do you need a license for those?
Yes.
You do?
MR.
There's a certain size that
so you can rent some that
you can
are
rent some
smaller,
that
right?
are just under that you can rent on a car license, but they're not very big.
MR is 4.5-ton vehicle and up. So here's the other crazy thing. You need an MR license to drive a car that's 4.5-ton. Yet you can get a 2.5-ton car and tow a 3.5-ton caravan, right? And look, there are some people out there who know what the hell they're talking about, and they recommend that whatever you tow should be 30% less in mass and weight than the towing vehicle itself. God. Because a lot of vehicles are towing a load that's bigger than the vehicle.
Yeah.
So that's another can of worms.
Yeah.
And when you combine those two together, that's when you get this perfect storm of inexperience, towing with an underrated car, and then all this shit just goes wrong. And then loading it incorrectly as well. Yep. If you've got too much load to the front of the trailer, it starts doing this.
Yeah.
It starts getting that sway. And I've had that before in my number 5 X Army trailer. My swag was like a foot too far forward, and it was at night. I was driving. I was like, oh, I got a weird wobble in my car. I thought it was like one of the wheels or balance or something. And then I looked in the rear mirror, and then my tail light was lighting up a trailer. I was like, oh, shit. So I had to speed up to pull it and then slow down.
Wow.
So you got to know what
Knowing
to do.
That, yeah, even that.
Yeah, because once that trailer goes, you got to speed up to pull it straight, and then you pull in. If you try and slow down while it's doing that, shit goes wrong.
Yeah,
and that's what happens to people.
So, what do you propose then? So, say you did need to get a license to tow a caravan or say a bigger load than what your car actually is, whatever it is. What's the best way to do that? Like, you can't go back on your learners. So, is it a short course? Is it a 1-day thing? Is it like a defensive driving course for towing?
I think it should be. But here's the thing, right? There are 800,000 or nearly a million caravans in Australia.
On the road.
On the road that are registered.
Yeah.
So you can't expect all these people to go and get a license.
Yep.
Or to have to do a course. But what you can do is encourage people via insurance. If you have a caravan insurance, it's going to cost you this much. But if you get training, it's back to the normal price. Right, that's what they should do, right?
Incentivize it a bit.
Yeah, because then that way is incentive to get training, right? But also think that people from now on who get a C-class license should have to do some kind of part of their test. It's just mandatory. They do it as part of the C-class license.
Right.
It's not an extra license, I reckon. I reckon they should just do it as part of their license.
Yeah, okay. So
that's what I reckon.
Like hook up a van and
Yeah, just reverse with a van.
Ooh, I might have my C-class license if I needed to do that.
You'd work it out.
I'd work it out, yeah. You like that. Even that story there before of you knowing to speed up before slowing down to steady the trailer, stuff like that I wouldn't be aware of. And I would feel confident enough to hook up a caravan and go. And that's the scary thing.
Yeah.
That I feel confident enough to do that, yet I didn't know that tip, and that could happen to me.
Yeah, and that could happen to anyone. And like, even if they just mention it, at least in your theory of your driving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, a little bit of workbook stuff on it even. Yeah.
It's like when your tire blows out, the worst thing you can do is stamp on that brake. You got to speed up. And it sounds counterintuitive, right? If your front tire blows, you want me to speed up? Are you fucking nuts? Yeah, speed up. Gain control, then slow down. Because if you lose control straight away and then you hit the brakes, yeah. There's some good demonstrations of this on YouTube. Actually, you can find it there. But there were some shows on TV a long time ago.
Yep.
And there was a guy driving a truck, and he was driving the truck to prove his theory. He put explosives on the fucking tire, and then they would blow it up when he reached speed. And then he would just put the throttle down and speed up, gain control, slow down, pull over.
He blew up his tires.
He blew up his tires to prove his point.
Must work.
Yeah.
Well, he's well, gone to those depths.
You're pretty confident if you're doing that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. In a truck as well.
It's
an interesting, I find this really interesting because in our world, in what we love to do, they're everywhere. Like a lot of the spots, well, maybe not the spots you go, but the spots I go, there's caravans everywhere. And even Jaden helping the fella out a few weeks back.
Oh, yeah. And that's like one of those things where it's like, wow, you really don't know how to do this, how to like maneuver your own caravan around without damaging your car and like getting in all sorts of strife. So you really need to, I feel like, I kind of like it. I feel like you really need to learn how to drive those things.
Winning me over a little bit because even some education or some practical training, it sounds beneficial to me. I just think it needs to be offered in a way that's not overbearing and too taxing on people to actually go and do.
I agree as well.
It's got to be easy, I reckon.
Well, I reckon if road safety are serious about road safety, they would use some of that mining tax money and then use that to encourage people that, hey, you come and do this course, here's the subsidy for that course. You want to learn how to reverse a trailer, you know. I reckon that's the way to go rather than making people pay for shit, you know. Because there's always a minority that ruin it for the majority.
Yeah.
But that minority is the problem because that minority will affect the majority. It's like having drunk drivers on the road, you know. They might think they're fine, but I sure as shit wouldn't want a drunk driver on the road if I'm driving on the road.
Yep.
Whoa, I like that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You're driving a caravan, you think you're all good, but then there's other people on the road that are watching you like, what the hell are you doing, mate?
I see caravans all the time. Like, they're so, like, the car's lifting like this, that the steering is so light, and they have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
It's like they're just, oh, this is normal.
Hooked it up and off they went.
I was about to say, even hooking caravans and stuff up like that, like there's people out there that don't actually, they'll plug it in, hook it onto the tow ball, no safety chains, no nothing. Like if anything goes wrong there, that caravan's flying off.
I've seen a dangerous, well, I saw the end result of a caravan on its side that I think these guys knew what they're doing. There was a little something went wrong. I'm not saying they were beginners. They weren't. They actually did know what they were doing, but something went wrong to them and they knew what it was all about, and it was a scary, very, very scary, well, what could have happened?
Yeah.
But that was the scary thought. The caravan was on its side. Oh, it was on its side. It's like it was on its drawbar sort of thing, off the car though. Like it almost, they said when we came to them, this was up towards Coral Bay, when we got to them on the side of the road, because we didn't come by long after it happened, they said the feeling in the car of the car wanting to go and the trailer's jumped off at the right time. And so it's they've come back a bit, but they've got young kids in the car.
Yeah,
said it was one of the scariest moments, and just what could have happened.
Yep.
You can't be too sure. So I think I'm actually really liking the idea of some education around it.
You hear stories all the time of close calls and people overtaking as well, or people not doing the speed limit with a caravan. It's frustrating people behind, and when people are frustrated and they get angry and it's, and they want to get somewhere, they will sometimes almost force them into making a dumb decision and try and overtake something. Or caravans that they are towing in a group and they sit up each other's ass.
Yeah.
Now you got to overtake freaking two or three of them because no one's moving. They're not on the fucking two-way radio either. It really pisses me off. And I had a close call when Hyden Norseman Road. I was driving behind this guy for ages and he's just sitting at like this ridiculously low speed, but there was so much dust. And I was sitting on the wrong side of the road because I could see up ahead, right? I was trying to I was flashing my lights. I was on the radio. I was beeping my horn. Didn't know I was there. And then eventually it got to this long stretch where there was no gravel.
Oh, yeah.
And I could catch up and then it got gravel again. So he would have seen me. And I'm trying to make him aware that I'm here. Yeah. And I figured he was aware at this point. So I started the overtake. And then all of a sudden he starts creeping to the middle of the road. And I was committed at this stage. So I ended up on the soft shoulder.
Oh, wow.
Not wanting to take the foot off the throttle just to keep control of the car. I'm actually knocking over some of those markers. And then I get up in front of, get back on the road and then sort of pull in front of him.
Yeah.
Get up far enough.
Wow.
He would have thought I was a psycho probably. But the thing was,
blew you.
Like, honestly, like fucking, where's the courtesy, you know?
I reckon we might be pissing a few caravans off, I reckon, here, but it's good because now I want to touch on, it's sort of got me going on the etiquette. He's barely ever sworn on this podcast. He's gone five times already.
Jeez. Look, most people did a rough thing.
They do. But I like that point around because some people, they might know how to hook up the caravan, drive safely, all the rest of it. But they don't actually know some of the etiquette around, like, keeping an even space between convoy, allowing, because it becomes quite problematic on the roads when you get a group of three or four caravans in a row. You become 2B doubles, basically, like the space that they take up. So I think there, and I'm not going to ask you to name them all now, Ronnie, but there's part of that that becomes the etiquette and like the safety around all of that stuff, even just the art of driving caravan and what it means for other people on the road too.
The art of highway, really.
Yeah. So there's, I don't know how we tell you about that, because I'm not going to tell you because I don't know it.
Yeah.
But there's stuff that does annoy me when you're coming up to caravaners, and there's, I'm sure there's someone out there that can let people know what they are. You've just alluded to a couple of them, but.
Yes.
There must be a little handbook somewhere that someone's made.
Yeah.
Or maybe we need to make one.
There's another one of our business ideas that we don't tell anyone.
There's a few. That's what.
Yeah, we'll come back to. We forgot about that last week and I've still got it in my head.
Yeah.
When he's talking about business ideas.
I forgot about it.
Stay with me.
Sorry.
Stay with me.
Go.
Was that the solar thing?
It was around solar. Yeah, that's all we're telling them, though.
That's right. That was last week. That's the last week.
It was around solar.
The art of driving.
The art of driving.
Yep. Yes. Put your foot on the accelerator. Make sure your hands are at 10 to 2 and just.
Yeah, I reckon you need to do the speed limit. You need to do the speed limit, or at least close to it.
Yeah.
Don't do 80 in a 110. Look, I know you're restricted to 100 when you're towing in most states, not all states.
Yep.
But, at least do like 90 or something. Or leave a gap, like especially if you're in a convoy.
Yep.
I understand that people want to save their fuel money by going below 100 because you burn far less fuel. And I think that's what's happening. Yep. But just leave gaps. Have your two-way radio on. If you can afford a caravan, you can afford a bloody radio.
He was going to go again.
Always stop.
Oh, mate.
Well, no, he's right.
No, he is.
Absolutely right.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
And there's a bloody good radio that's just come out.
Yeah.
So,
GME, XRS, it's not like da 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 da.
666660.
Was it? Yeah.
Shout out to Tony.
Yeah, shout out to
Tony.
Truckies. I see truckies overtaking caravans all the time. And The best overtakes are, you hear them on Channel 40. They're communicating. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You beauty.
Awesome caravaner.
Yeah.
You know, this guy is a road warrior, you know. He knows what he's doing.
That's what you want to
call him. Well, that's what you want to call him, right? Because they're doing the right thing. And then you're like, yeah, mate, come past me. I'll slow down. I'll even move over a bit. That's what you hear a lot of them say. And that's cool, you know.
Yeah.
And it's the same like when you're overtaking trucks. So unless we're having a chat for our own convoy, usually one of us jumps on, like we did it across the Nullarbor. It's like, hey, mate, we're just coming around. There's another two behind me. And, you know.
And you actually had to let us know because we only had the one unit.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You were sort of relaying the message because we didn't want to lose contact with. Well, there were a couple of times we had to switch to 40 because you guys were able to skip ahead, told us to hold back. Then you end up a few Ks down the road, you're no longer our eyes. So we'd actually just switch over to 40. But that's where the two units would be bloody handy.
You can always switch.
Yeah, I suppose.
I've got one that's got like a scan and priority on it. So when they chat on 40, It comes through to me and it takes me off whatever channel that we'll be sitting on.
That'd be a GME unit, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it is a GME unit. It's bloody elite. I didn't know about it until our most recent trip. And my mate Rory put it up, set it up for me. It's unreal.
It's
so good because they'll be like, oh, yeah, car behind. Like you can go past. You have no idea that there's cars coming or not because you can't see past this massive truck.
Yeah.
It's the best. Like absolutely the best. So make sure you've got a radio.
Yeah, you can also get warnings like, you know, like there's, you know, wildlife coming up. And you hear the truckies talk to each other as well. And you'll hear if there's like a flashy on the side or whatever. And a few other colourful words.
They're bloody polite on the radio. Or at least they were when I was up there.
Oh, yeah. They're always polite when on the road. But you do get some interesting conversations on there, that's for sure.
Yeah. You do.
I love it. Anyway.
Good stuff. So while there's no need to license or educate on caravanning at the moment, how do people become good at it? Because at the end of the day, you've just got to jump in and do it.
Yeah, honestly, what's
the way to learn?
Okay, I believe there are courses out there that give you towing. But see, the way that I've learned, if I had never towed anything in my entire life, then I would probably seek out a course because I'll be like, shit, there's... I've never towed before, right? Yep. But I've towed quite a few smaller trailers. And to me, towing a caravan, because I've towed a caravan twice and I'll be towing one pretty soon again for Shark Bay doing a trip.
Becoming a regular caravaner, this bloke.
Mate, one of them.
Involuntarily. Yeah.
He's one of those lot.
Hey, the family loves it, so keeping the family happy.
Great way to do it, I reckon.
Yeah, there's another 30 people going, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
We must have just missed out, Jaden.
We just didn't quite make the cut. We don't have a caravan. 31 and 32. just couldn't quite get through those doors.
It's pretty much all Torben's family, to be honest.
Oh, really? I love that.
Wow.
Now I definitely want to come.
Bring him on the podcast. This is what he does to us.
So, but look, towing trailers, like my previous working life as a tradie steel fixer, towed trailers, drove trucks. You know, so I had experience of towing.
Yep.
And if you tow a camper trailer with a short drawbar, you can pretty much tow almost anything after doing that because that is the most difficult thing to tow. Well, to reverse with. It's the most difficult thing to reverse with. So when I reverse a caravan, I can't believe how easy it is because I'm always like, you know, when you've got like a short drawbar, you're constantly correcting.
Yep.
And then as soon as you just go like 5%, past a certain point, that's it.
Over.
Go forward again and do it again. And I used to have to do that down tight tracks, you know, or there's a dead end, I'm in front.
Yep.
Try and back it up.
So is your recent caravan trip, caravan, longer drawbar, was that single or dual axle?
That was a dual axle.
Okay. I've heard that's even better again. Maneuver.
It's easy to park up too because it's not, you don't have to, you know, it's not going to like tip on you.
Yeah, gotcha.
I found it quite easy. I would like to next time maybe get a smaller caravan because towing a big caravan, there's that little bit, you know, because I hadn't towed anything that big before. So when I first got in and I was towing, I was like, it was okay for the city. But once I got up to the high speeds and, you know, I wanted to keep up with the traffic and not hold people up.
Yeah.
there's some instances where you're like, "Whoa, yeah, I can really feel that behind me now." You know,
right.
Like we get those little, you know, on those shitty roads where you're kind of like a little bit bumpy and stuff. Yep. You really do have to be aware and have your wits about you. Speed up for the hills, you know, stuff like that, so you can go up the hill, so you're not holding people back.
Yep.
You know, so you really got to think a lot more with a big caravan. You can't just relax behind the steering wheel. Yep. You know, it's not like you're driving across the Nullarbor. You know, you're driving through windy country. This is on Mornington Road. If you're familiar with that road that goes through, it's quite hilly,
right?
Up and down, lots of double lines. You know.
Yep. And what about picking the right vehicle for what you're towing? Or does that always come? What comes? You know, a lot of the time the vehicle is going to come first. So I suppose maybe flip it. How do you pick the right caravan to tow?
That's a really, really good one to talk about. So most vehicles these days that are dual cab use, a lot of them are rated to towing 3 to 3.5 ton.
Right.
And just because you can tow 3.5 ton doesn't mean you should tow 3.5 ton.
Yeah.
You've got GVM and you got GCM. So GVM, gross vehicle mass, GCM, gross combined mass. That's like the overall you can tow. But if you are over GVM, then that it comes out, you know, they all play with each other. And that's another subject that people should really learn about before they head out and tow, because yeah, your car's got to be within that GVM to be able to tow that GCM. And if you increase your GVM with an upgrade, it doesn't increase the GCM.
Right, okay.
It's a bit of a gray area.
So with my bit of clarity, so my Ford Ranger, as it is, has got a GCM of whatever. I don't know what the number
is. Do you know if you can tow 3 ton or 3.5?
We'll just go 3, keep it round. I'm pretty sure it's 3.5, but it's 3.
Yeah. Let's just say 3.5.
All right.
You can tow 3.5.
Yep.
But your gross combined mass is 6.5.
Okay.
You can't go over that.
Yep.
So that means that if you load your car to 3.5 ton, you've got to include the tow ball weight. And that now your caravan can't weigh more than 3 ton.
Right.
But if your Ranger is 3 ton, and the caravan is 3.5 ton, now you're at 6.5 ton.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. So what about though? So you're saying if I get a GVM.
GVM upgrade.
Upgrade.
It doesn't mean that you can.
I can tow more. That's still at 6.5.
You're still restricted to 6.5.
Uh-huh.
6.5 is still your ceiling.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So you can.
What's the point of a GVM then if the gross combined mass doesn't change?
Well, a GVM is more like, say you want to tow a camper trailer or something smaller, or you just want a big canopy and stuff in your car, because it doesn't take long before you're over GVM with your vehicle. So,
just without towing.
Yeah, without towing. If you have a brand new Ranger and you fill it with 5 occupants, you have to equate for 5 occupants even though the seats are empty, because you could put someone in there. That's how they calculate it.
Yep.
You add your bull bar, you add your roof rack, you add your canopy, you add all your cargo, full tanks of fuel, all that stuff, you are pretty well close to, you are probably over your GVM already.
Yep.
It doesn't take much to get over.
Yeah, right.
But then to tow something, there was one particular car as stock. If you wanted to tow 3.5 ton, all you could have inside the car was a driver and a handbag.
Really?
Yep. Anything over that meant you couldn't tow 3.5 ton.
Yeah,
so it's essentially false advertising. However, people see it 3.5 ton. Cool, I'm going to get that because I want to tow this big caravan, and it's not the right vehicle.
Right.
And often, because I was talking to the guys down at George Day Caravans, and when I was talking to them, I said, what's the biggest problem you guys get? Because I always tend to ask a different part of the four-wheel drive industry to this.
Yep.
What's the biggest problem you have? Because sometimes it gives me content ideas. And he was saying that people buying a caravan, but they've already bought the car, and we don't know what car they've got sometimes until they've already bought the caravan. So they try and ask them, what car have you got, when they're looking at a caravan? Because there was one couple, I can't remember what car it was. They bought this, I think it was a Mitsubishi Pajero or something.
Yep.
They bought this massive caravan, and they rock up with a Pajero, and they're like, you can't tow that with that car. A car can't tow the caravan.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, oh, shit. You know, it just crushed their...
Yeah, that, that's their plan.
They just dropped the money on the car and the caravan, you know?
Yeah.
So you've got to really work out what are you going to use the car for? What are you going to tow with the car? You almost got to buy the caravan first and then buy the car to suit the caravan.
Yep.
But I would suggest not buying a caravan over 2.5 ton.
Yeah, righto.
But that's my personal, you know.
How long was yours?
I don't know how, I can't remember how long it was, but it was over 3 ton.
Right.
When we towed it.
Yep.
So
that is that, that's a pretty decent size.
That was huge, man.
Was that, is it like 17, 19 foot? Don't know.
I'm the worst person to ask boat measurements and caravan measurements.
Right. Last time I asked.
I talk in meters.
Yeah.
I don't know how. It was a lot of meters.
Yeah. A lot of meters.
It was like.
Quite a few meters.
Yeah. The front yard's pretty big and it was the whole front yard.
So there's quite a large amount of meters.
You know, it's quite a few meters, Ronnie, that earphone cable coming out of your ear.
Oh, yeah. I was going to let you know about that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See?
It's on a right angle.
Straight out the
Thinking about all the meters.
You know, tuck that back in there down around that.
Was that about a foot out there or what?
Oh, mate. I was about to come over and
give another neck tickle.
I mean, what's your thoughts on towing? Do you think people should, do you think it should be regulated more? I mean, other countries it is. I just don't like more regulation. I don't like more restrictions, but.
Yeah. Well, that was the only reason I was against it was because. Like, yeah, just licenses for everything, which I understand why. But for me, it's just like, it's just another thing I have to go and get if I want to, you know, if I want to wake, if I wake up tomorrow and go, I want to tow all of a sudden, then I can't because I have to go and get the license. So,
well, you can't because you have to go and get something to tow as well, mate.
Yeah, that's a good point. But that's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I like what you're saying.
Yeah.
I like it.
If the thing is, you can't expect everyone who tows now to go and get this accreditation or a license.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. Everyone's going to go, nah, get stuffed.
Yeah.
But you could start it at a certain point and go from this day onwards, if you haven't got a license, or from this age onwards.
Yeah.
You know,
I just find the way that it's done would need to be really well thought out.
There's heaps of other models around the world, you know.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, and I didn't know. I wasn't aware of that. But I like what you're saying about, I think it should be at least educated. If you can't practically do it, like practically test and...
sorry, that's just my head.
Yeah, mate. That's so Jane laughing at you. But yeah, I like everything you're saying. I think it should be definitely thought about moving forward as to how we just keep everyone safe on the roads.
Yeah.
And you keep yourself safe. Like, if you are towing, well, make sure you know what you're doing. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Like you say, I don't know. I don't tow. I very rarely towed, maybe once or twice a trailer. And that's everything. And I wouldn't back myself to tow a big caravan. But that is what the scary part is, that I actually am able to go and buy one tomorrow and drive out the showroom and off I go. So
I
think the more important part is knowing the GVM and GCM and that side of it makes more sense to me, being like, you can't license that, or you can't
you can't, like, but it should be part of your bloody...
I think that's got to have more space for education, or there should be more scope for an education piece around that, I reckon.
Yeah.
In when you're doing your P plates or whatever.
100%. I mean, the amount of stuff that kids learn in school these days is vastly more than what it was when I went to school. Like, some of the stuff my daughters come home with is like, shit, I don't even know this, but let's just look on YouTube. It's like, oh, that's how you do this.
Yeah.
You know, so surely this, you know, surely people are going to comprehend if you put it in their theory. GVM, GCM. It just makes people aware of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Maybe we can make that a school subject. We can make just life class.
Well, yeah.
You know, like, and then one week it's just, or one day it's just like, we go out and do a little towing run.
Yeah, it should just be,
defensive driving course.
Damn, that's a freaking good idea.
Life class.
Like a life class, yeah.
I mean, well,
I have a question for you boys. Is like, is it? Are you considering a? You have to get a license for all types of towing, like say you're towing a trailer, or is it over a certain tonnage that you have to start getting a license, like it is with trucks and heavy vehicles and so that kind of stuff?
I would say, like, say if they did put it in now that if you see C-class license, you also get the towing thing, but from this age onwards. But you only need it for 750 kilos and over, like a braked trailer. Unbraked, you shouldn't have to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't like it for all towing.
No.
Got to be able to, like,
box trailers.
Go to Bunnings and borrow a trailer.
Yeah. But I like something like that. Like, I would actually be, I'd be happy with that probably.
Yeah.
I don't think there would be a lot of people out there that would be, but someone will agree with us.
Like if I'd never towed before, I'd be seeking out some some form of training.
Yeah.
You know, because this is like shit, towing and then that big thing.
Yeah.
It's interesting though. Like if you open up that part of it. To you know, if you go over 750 kilos, then and you need to be it's regulated or whatever it is.
Mm.
Like how many other things, even just thinking about four wheel driving, does that open up? Like operating a winch or snatching a vehicle. Like there's no, I know you don't. Yeah. You're never going to have a license for that.
No, but you can get training for that, and a lot of people do.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that. Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, then it's going to be like,
what I was saying, but
can you buy a Lamborghini? Are you allowed to drive that fast without like having a license? Yeah. You know,
you're not allowed to S14
or something.
Break the speed limit.
Yeah,
there's so many things that like
where
could
do
be
those
restricted.
Lamborghini
like,
drivers actually go to use their car? Is what I want to know.
Why they just drive so slowly on the freeway? It's like, what's the point of having that car, mate? Up to
speed up real quick from 0 to 60, and then just back.
Yeah, and then just like stop. Yeah. Oh, great! Now you're doing 50 in a 60 zone, mate. Yeah.
I actually sat behind one of those really nice cars at a set of lights just around the corner from here, and it was a red light, and the driver realized no one's crossing that crosswalk, so I'm just going to go through a red light and turn left.
No,
I was like, okay.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
He might
be American because you can do that in America. That was so cool when I went there.
Oh, there you go.
Like,
can you do that in New South Wales?
I wouldn't do anything in New South Wales. I'm actually questioning if I should even drive to the full drive show this year for the new regulations that are coming out.
Over there?
Oh, yeah, man. That is regulated. They've got cameras now that any full driver's modified takes a photo of it. And you don't hear from them. You get a letter in the mail, whether your car's been defected or not, and then you got to take it over to pits.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Just for the outrageous.
They
ones.
Just drive past you. You don't even know what's happened.
Would my car wouldn't be defected, though, would it? Not any four. It's just cars that actually.
They take a photo of any car that looks
illegal,
out of stock form. Yeah. Out of stock form, photo gets taken.
And then
taken.
They review it through a photo.
Well, yeah, because then what they do is they see if it's got a mod plate for it. And if it has no mod plates on the registration, send a letter.
There you go. That's another. Wow. We've got another topic there, Jade.
We're not going to New South Wales.
Yeah. Let's maybe back off the regulations.
Let the people live.
It's just in the best interest, you know. I don't want people to pay for licenses and stuff. You shouldn't have to, but just add the education to the thing, you know.
Like,
people love to sit behind a desk and go, let's fucking put this regulation in. But do they do any of this stuff themselves? Probably not.
No.
They just like making rules. But
it's a great call.
But there's other ways of doing it. Just, you know, take some mining tax. Take some of that money and then encourage people to go, here, you can have a free course within this time space.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it.
I like it.
I like it.
People love learning.
They do.
I like it. So we're all on board
growth
for the
mindset.
Caravan licenses.
At least education.
Education.
I think the government should send out gift cards to everyone who has a caravan registered, and here's your free training course. That's all they need to do.
Might be free.
I like that.
Subsidized.
I like that. Anyway, is that?
I think we leave it there on that topic.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a like.
And that business idea in the background is us starting a towing training business?
Yeah.
Oh,
there's three blokes that really working know how to tow. Yeah. Well, one. Do you know how to tow?
I know how to tow.
You're confident towing?
I'm familiar with towing.
I dabble.
I'm familiar with towing. I'm experienced in towing, but I'm not as experienced as a lot of those.
Yeah.
You know who we could get on board?
Legendary Keelan. Caravanners out there. Keelan, he's one of those. He's... Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking? Like they run like Keelan while he's away and Sarah, they run like campsite towing clinics.
Oh,
yeah. You know, like it said, like Keelan just like pops up, like for $20, let's all go and do like a little towing course. It's just like run, it's like a mobile towing clinic.
Mobile towing clinic.
And that keeps Sarah and Keelan going on the road. I'll call them later about that.
Yeah.
Might even be more than $20 though.
$20 and a carton of shelters.
Carton of shelters, yeah.
All right, let's finish up there. Let's get to around the fire pit, Jaden. I'll shut the laptop if you've got a couple of questions for us, mate, from the viewers and the listeners.
We got a couple of questions. Hear that?
I do hear that.
Whoa. Ooh,
it's getting closer to when's fire time allowed?
I think your ranger broke that rule last week.
I've still got it. It's all good. I still got it.
I think it depends on what region you're in. I think 1st of April is at many places.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1st of April.
Yep.
Yeah. And then some places it's like middle of April.
Yep.
It's weird.
Right.
Yeah. There's some places like you could walk out of that area and you'd be in fire ban for 3 months, but in there it's okay to have a fire in December. It's so weird.
Well, we're not far away from camping season.
Well, it's a good thing we bring our own electrical fire, boys.
That's right.
And that's Duggo's Ranger.
Always got me.
4x4 and Explore. What do you think about the Common Rail GU patrols, specifically 2015-16 as a tourer?
I think they are fine. Fantastic, I think.
What does the Common Rail part mean?
Is he on about the 3-litre, is he?
Haven't got a leader. It just says Common Rail.
What year was
patrols. 15-16.
Common Rail, just a Common Rail diesel.
Did that help you?
Not really.
It's just a type of motor.
Oh, it's like the name of the. It's like, is that the brand?
Yeah.
Let me Google it. I'm going to open my laptop. Sorry.
Yeah, you get the proper analogy.
You keep talking about
that. I don't want to. Yeah.
Yeah. I like them.
I think it's fine. Like a lot of people, if this will be the 3-litre. This just. Double check that. I'm pretty sure that'll be a 3-litre.
Oh, it's a fuel injection system, Common Rail.
I think it'll be fine. Like the problems they had with the 3-litre patrols was when they first came out. And often cars just get a bad name. You know, the grenade engine they were called. It's a bit like when the Hilux first came out with the 2.8 and they had the DPF issues. That was another one of those moments. The V8. Land Cruiser, when that first came out, that was burning oil. So all these engines had problems of some sort. Oh, yeah, even the D4D Hilux, the 3-litre and that had like the injector death, the injector knock. So I think 2015, 2016 patrol is a great choice as a tourer.
Yes. No, nothing on the literage.
It'll be a 3-litre.
Yeah, that have 2015, 16, yeah. Yeah. I'm just diving into Common Rail over here.
Yeah.
It's just like an inline fuel injection system sort of thing.
Yeah. I don't know the exact terminology, so yeah. I stopped myself.
Nice.
Smart man. This one from Vaughan Munro, and more of a statement than a question, but it must be time for Ronnie to do an update on Torbs' 79.
That thing's had more updates than... He's changed underpants.
A modified update he wants.
It's pretty much still the same as it was a little while ago. What's changed on it?
More kilometers.
More kilometers.
How's the diff?
Not much CV? Has really changed. Oh, yeah. He's changed the rear diff to a Dana 60, I think it is. That's about it, really. Not much else has changed to it. The tray.
Little bear.
Tray's the same.
Little bear.
Canopy's the same. The inside of the canopy is more or less the same.
Yep. There you go, guys. That's it. That's all I've got for the fire pit.
Is that all you got?
That's all I've got.
We carry on a bit now through the main topics and with On the Radar. So it's like we sort of don't want to take 2 hours of people talk. What, how long are we going today?
58 minutes at the moment.
Oh, that's all right.
Around that.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Oh, we round it out to 60.
Hours good. I can do a real slow outro.
A real slow outro.
We'll wind that down.
Well, look, if you want more questions, people, send them in. Send in your questions. The 4WD Podcast. Where, Duggo?
Hey?
Where to send the questions to?
Oh, for
Instagram.
He's stalling on it. I was still looking. I was like, well, is there? Surely there's. Nah.
Still looking for Common Rail.
All right. No, we're done now, aren't we?
Look.
Yeah, all right.
The
fire's still going. I thought it was. Still chatting.
It was a quick one. The answers to the questions were quick.
It was.
Do I get a Common Rail Patrol? Yes.
I like them.
Is Torb's going to be on modified? No.
No.
He hasn't done change.
It's yes and no.
Yeah, it's a simple world.
It's easy.
It's a simple world.
Yes or no.
All right, let's wrap it up. The 4WD Podcast, driven by Shelter. Music by Southern Ruby and Let It Ride. We'll see us out. 4WD Podcast on Instagram. All episodes over on Backchat's YouTube. And thank you again to our patrons.
See you later, everybody.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.